Hello, my name is Stephen Abaddon. I am an associate professor of microbiology at The Ohio State University, and I am going to be teaching a course on microbial evolution that's based upon a book that goes by the title of Microbes and Evolution, which is unpublished, but it's my own work. What you're seeing on the screen right now is an image of a sponge. It's a scanning electron micrograph that has false colorization. And what you see is basically a lot of microorganisms that live in places that perhaps we don't want them to live. And what we'll be talking about is microbial evolution. And what we'll be concentrating on is especially what I call evolutionary ecology of microorganisms, which is essentially looking at microorganism adaptations and why they exist, why they're there, the why of organism functioning. We're not going to be spending a great deal of time looking at molecular evolution in this course. So this is the starting title of this talk. It will indeed be a very brief introduction to evolution. I will have this followed by a number of very much less brief introductions. So, evolution is beautiful, and evolution is also messy. Evolution does what evolution does. It's really a matter of being good enough, ideally being better than your neighbor, your competitor. But that doesn't mean that you're going to end up with systems that are as slick as, say, an Apple computer or an iPhone. My iPhone does drive me crazy, so perhaps it's not perfect. But evolution definitely produces wonderful, beautiful things, but when you start looking at the nitty-gritty of the functioning of organisms and the nitty-gritty of the evolution of organisms, what you find is that the organisms aren't quite as slick as they would superficially appear to be. And so what we have here, of course, is a beautiful photograph. That's a very complex photograph. There is beauty in complexity, and organisms certainly are complex, and evolutionary biology certainly is complex. And also, ecology is certainly complex. Evolution works within an ecological context. So what is microbial evolution? So that's a question that I'm barely going to touch upon trying to answer in this little lecture here. And what I'll be doing is giving you a brief introduction to evolution, but again, there'll be much more for you to learn about evolution. Okay, so mutations. So mutation is the ultimate source of all genetic variation. But if mutation were the only evolutionary force, that would change evolutionary biology somewhat. You don't get beautiful things out of mutation alone. You get the mess, but you don't really get the beauty out of mutation. So if you go back to this, that's, well, you know, I guess somebody placed those things where they're located. There's more than just random yuck mess going on there. And in fact, it might not look nearly as beautiful if it was just a heap of those things rather than something that seemingly has been fairly carefully placed. Complex, but beautiful. Mutation does not give you beauty. Mutation gives you something like that. We started with beauty. Whatever that thing is, I'm sure it was pretty gorgeous or at least interesting, functional, when it was new, but over time it has degraded. Stochastic processes, chance, things have broken. So mutation leads to a mess, and that's what happens if you just let mutation do its thing. You don't get the beauty of organisms, you don't get the functionality of organisms, you don't get the beauty of evolution. So material normally considered under the auspices of departments of evolution, ecology, and or organismal biology is implied in this course to organisms typically covered by courses offered by departments of microbiology. So this would be to organisms like bacteria and viruses. If you're in a department of evolution, ecology, and organismal biology, most of the things that you will be studying are relatively big things. And if you're in a department of microbiology, most of the things you'll be studying will, of course, be small things, but you'll tend to look at them in ways that are a little bit different, perhaps a lot of bit different from how we're going to look at things in this course. So, biology is less complicated than this. By what I mean by this is this thing that you're seeing on the screen here. Biology is not complicated simply for the sake of complication. Biology is complicated because when there's a need and ability to pull off some kind of function, that's a good thing. It doesn't matter how you get there as long as it works and works reasonably well. So there's not complication simply for the sake of complication within biological systems, though there's one exception to that thought, and that is that complication can be placed into biological systems by other organisms or by other things. Things that basically are keeping the organism that you're focusing on from functioning as well as it would want to function, or functioning as well as it ought to function, or otherwise is able to function. And these lead to complications on that organism's existence, and these complications can lead to complications of in terms of the organism itself. So why is biology less complicated than what you see on your screen? And the answer is because of natural selection. So there's more evolutionary forces than mutation and natural selection, but at its simplest, mutation puts genetic variation in and natural selection takes variation out of populations. Evolution is complicated. Organisms are complicated. They're maybe not quite as complicated or crazy as that previous slide, but it's complicated nonetheless. You see here lots of complication. Organisms are very complex, and as a consequence, the evolution of those organisms is very complex, but the complexity of evolution goes beyond the complexity that's associated with the organisms themselves. So here I'll provide, in this course, a broad perspective on the utility of evolutionary thinking within microbiology, along with the advantages of using microorganisms to better understand evolutionary biology. So we're both trying to better understand microorganisms by applying evolutionary thinking, evolutionary biological principles, as well as some ecology. But also the science of evolutionary biology is enhanced by the use of microorganisms to study how organisms in general evolve. So we can ask the question, how did we get here? This is a poster of metabolic pathways. This is, of course, the core of what biochemistry is all about. So how did we get to this complexity you see here? It's not hugely more complex than it needs to be complex, but it's certainly very complex. So I'm going to, in this course, emphasize issues of ultimate causation. That is, how did we get to where we are today, such as in terms of this chart here? And this is towards understanding microbes, and this will be instead of the more proximal causes that people study and try to understand when they're studying biochemistry or genetics or molecular genetics or what have you. It's not how organisms function that we're going to be that concerned about, but instead, why do they function the way they do? Why are they the way they are? So how did we get to here? So this is a poster. I found it on Google, lots of Google searches. And so this is basically avec le vaccine, or however one pronounces that in French. Basically, how did we come up with the application of microbiology to biomedicine? And towards that end, sort of, and towards understanding microbiology and microbial evolution, we're first going to consider some basic subjects. And these will include the basics of evolution, non-Darwinian evolution, natural selection, particularly as it's applied to microorganisms. We're going to look at the propagation of microorganisms so that they either do or don't evolve. We're going to look at horizontal gene transfer, the movement of genes and other nucleotide sequences between organisms, other than the course of vertical evolution, movement from parent to offspring. And we're also going to look at genome evolution. The genome evolution part is going to be the closest that we come to considering microbial evolution in a molecular evolution sense. I guess it's the closest to molecular evolution that will come, but it's not going to be very molecular evolutionary. It's not going to be terribly molecular. And so how do we get to here? And by here, what I mean is particularly these big, giant green organisms that you see here, the plants. But not just the plants. I'm sure there are fish swimming around in here. And certainly, if you look into the soil and the rotting vegetation, you're going to see fungi. These are all relatively large, complicated organisms. And so the second half of the course is going to be all about looking at the evolution of greater size and greater complexity. And so we're going to be studying the evolution of cooperation, particularly as seen among microorganisms, symbioses, and particularly those that involve microorganisms. These would be intimate interactions between different organisms that often last over the course of multiple generations for at least one of the organisms that's involved. We're going to look at the evolution of pathogen virulence, and then we're going to finish off with a chapter titled Evolution of Greater Size and Complexity. And basically, we're going to be talking about things like the microbe to macrobe transition. This is all about where did we come from? And the answer is we came from microorganisms. And in fact, we start out as microorganisms and we develop into macroorganisms. So this is just an overview of the second half of the course. And this is the last slide, I believe, of this little mini lecture. And so we're going to be talking about gene exchange and how that results in genome evolution. This is actually part of the first part of the course. But part of that actually is relevant to the questions of cooperation. And we're looking at cooperation in the guise of mutualism, symbioses, endosymbioses. Basically, how is it that organisms can give up being selfish instead interact with one another in a way that's mutually helpful. Virulence can be thought of as the opposite of cooperation, but it's more complicated than that. That would be interspecific antagonism. Basically, one organism harms another within the context of the symbiosis. But in fact, virulence is more complicated than that and actually involves cooperative behavior, and particularly this is cooperative behavior between the parasites that are causing the virulence, causing disease in another organism, the host organism. But to a degree, you also have a cooperation going on between the host organism and the parasite, because the parasite it can't kill the host organism outright and still be able to replicate. So it's got to be kind to at least a degree to the host organism. It can't just attack. It's got to be a little bit helpful as well. In other words, it's got to hold back a little bit. And then we're going to be talking about cooperation all over again. Cooperation is all over the place in here, including in terms of genome evolution. We'll be looking towards the end, or in fact, at the end of the course, at cooperation in terms of the evolution of multicellularity.